enjoy him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
With all my heart. If you will open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, we started last week speaking about the prophetic dimension for conquest, the dimension of the supernatural presence of the great I Am. When we talk about a supernatural presence, We're not speaking in terms of just going by faith, even though it's in faith. You know, there are times we go by faith. You don't feel anything. You don't sense anything. You know, God gave you word. When we're talking about another dimension of God's supernatural manifested presence, where when you go, you know that if your spiritual eyes were open, you would see angels all around you walking in cadence with you, and the Spirit of the Lord hovering on you and in you. You would see it. In other words, it's a manifested sense that often touches your feeling, or it touches a sense, maybe not the five senses of the body, but it touches a sense where you know that God's manifested presence is there. You know, sometimes you've prayed and you didn't, you know, you pray, you believe, you thank God for it, but you didn't sense a manifested presence. But you know to pray, and you know you believe when you pray. Then there are times when you pray, and before you can hardly open your mouth, God is in the room. There's an awesomeness in the room that you almost, you know, can't pray. You just want to be quiet. When that cloud came upon Peter, James, and John, and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was a presence, a manifested presence, a cloud. And it brought fear to them. Peter, as awkward as he would respond or react in situations, you know, some people, when they get fearful, they start to talk. Yeah, you know, sometimes they talk and they don't make sense because it's fear that's talking. Well, Peter was like that. When he got afraid or when he got into a jam, he started talking. And when that presence came upon them, Peter started talking. He didn't know what to say. I mean, what are you talking about? Let's build three tabernacles. He don't even know what he's talking about. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He's just afraid, because the awesome presence will bring a reverential fear. And the Father spoke from the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Let me rephrase that. He says, "Shut up, Peter, and listen." You know, the King James kind of puts it in a palatable way. But the Lord says, "Shut up, Peter. In other words, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Don't you come up with no stuff here. You just listen." That's how the awesome presence of the great I Am is. What we want to learn is how to keep his presence. We've crossed over. It's a new time. It's the dawning of another day. As that song says, brighter day. It may get dark in the world, but if you get your eyes on the world, if you're beholding darkness all the time, that darkness can grip you. But if you're beholding his glory in the midst of darkness, you know, Moses went up into the mount and stood in the face of God 40 days and 40 nights. He saw the finger of God write the commandments. I mean, God spoke to him face to face. So much so that when he came or descended the mount, they had to put a veil over his face, because to look upon him would frighten them. They were afraid to look upon his face. You know, if you've ever seen the countenance of an angel, they're not the little guys with the little bow and arrows, you know, little naked guys, little babies, you know, Cupids, the devil, you know, Cupid's arrow, shooting people with arrows and stuff. Now, you see the countenance of an angel, it's fierce. It's so focused because it's been in the presence of God, where there is holiness, awe, reverence. That's all. There's nothing else there. Yes, all this old foolishness we see on TV and on calendars and stuff is, you know, it's far-fetched. There's an awesomeness about his presence that will cause reverence, that will cause fear, that will cause worship. Now, having said all that, we want, in order to fulfill our journey, reach our destination, find our destiny, we need his presence. Tell someone, I need God's presence. I need his presence more than Sunday morning. I need his presence more than Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I need his presence more than Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Saturday morning. We need his presence so till we live and move and have our being in his presence. See, some people think God is a hard taskmaster, but he's a good father. He's not a hard taskmaster. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. God's not always laying some heavy burden on you to do this and do that. That's your boss on the job. That's not God. God's not like that. When he fellowshiped with Adam, he came in the cool of the day and walked with Adam. He wasn't placing command. He was speaking life into Adam. He was speaking life, and Adam had nothing in him. God was speaking that which was of heaven into him, blessing him, encouraging him, building him. He would come and walk with him. And see, actually, prayer was developed after the fall. Now we got to get back to God. But when we learn how to position ourselves properly for his presence, then it's not a labor. See, to many people, he's sitting right here today, prayer is a labor for you. Only time we see Jesus laboring in prayer was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of pressure, where the devil was contending with him not to go to the cross or trying to kill him before the cross. But what did he do? He prayed through. Tell somebody, prayer ought not be a labor. See, if it's a labor to you, you have a small prayer life. Don't shout me down in here. I said, if it's a labor to you, if it's always a burden to you, then you don't pray much. But oh, when you change your perspective on it, get to understanding really what it is communion with your Father. And you don't have to know all the King James vernacular and all the right words to say and get religious with God. He would like to come and walk with you in your house. He'll come and walk with you right in your house. He'll stand and talk with you while you're doing dishes, while you're mopping the floor, amen, while you're trying to paint the garage. He'll stand and he'll talk with you if you learn how to get him to stay. Most folks don't like him staying because you don't understand him. First of all, God is not always coming to make some demands on you. He wants fellowship. That's what he created you for. He's not coming to tell you what you're doing wrong all the time. Come on, tell somebody, the devil is a lie. You know, like our granddaughter, mom was here praising. We love her so much. She had her while she was just praising. I know she was praying for her, just praying over and speaking things over and that. But, you know, we just like her to come, like she's sitting on her mom's lap, just to come and just be there. You know, we ain't trying to teach you no ABCs and all that right now. You know, you ought to be doing this. And why are you doing this? Stop that. Stop. No, we just come on here. Sometimes God just wants you to come on. We're going to take a look at being positioned for his presence, the supernatural presence, not the natural, but supernatural. Joshua 1:5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The reason he could say to Joshua, no one will be able to stand before you, to resist you, to stop you, to hinder you, or to block you, is the second sentence where he says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Wednesday night, we looked at Exodus 33, where Moses was conversing with the Lord, and he said, Lord, let us not go up unless you go with us. I don't want to go unless you go. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you. Now listen. And he said, I will give you rest. We could make a lot of excuses for carrying anxiety today. They got all kind of pills for it. You know, or we can make all kind of excuses for being stressed out. You know, the economy, you know, society, laws that are being changed, shifts in environments. We can make all kind of excuses. But the Lord told Joshua, he told Moses, my presence will go with you. And the indication that I'm with you, I'll give you rest. Now that rest is not just sleep, like some people may think. You know, God give you a good night's sleep. No, he'll give you a good night's sleep too. He said he gives his beloved sleep. Some of us need a good night's sleep. You're worried about many things, cumbered about many things, but you need to sleep. And when you are in God's presence, you sleep like a baby. Oh, yes, you do. You sleep sweet. It don't matter. It don't matter what's going on around you. You might be, amen, riding in a vehicle, you know, going down some bumpy roads, but you sleep in God, you'll sleep sweet. But we want to talk about being positioned for his presence. All right? So just to give you a build up to what we'll talk about now, the Lord said that he was near and he would dwell with him that is of a contrite heart and whosoever spirit is broken. Now, when we talk about a broken spirit, we're not talking about, you know, break like a person breaks a horse. You have to break their spirit in order to ride them out. We're not talking about that, because you don't want to break children's spirit. You want to break some of their habits, but you don't want to break their spirit. You know, somebody that's spirit is broken, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're susceptible to a lot of things. That's what parents are to guard or to watch over. That's what parents are for. Amen. You break their habits. You know, you don't spare the rod, but you don't break their spirit. You know, if your spirit gets broken, you're good for nothing. You go into depression. So we don't want to. Now, the Lord spoke about a broken spirit. In other words, a broken spirit or in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that mourn. You know, when he talks about things like that, blessed are they that mourn or a broken spirit. That's a person who has gotten into a place where they are totally dependent upon God. In other words, Lord, I cannot do this myself. I don't even trust myself in that sense. This is so much bigger. This, Lord, and he said, he's near him that is of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Not a heart that is full of pride and self-righteousness and ego and, you know, I can do this myself. That's why things are so messed up. You've been doing it yourself and not really trusting God. But he said, I dwell in a high and lofty place with him that is of a contrite heart. So the world's got this thing wrong. The world thinks only the proud can make it. Only the ones strong in the flesh. But they got it all backwards. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit. Okay? So if we're going to be positioned for his presence, no matter how God blesses you, see, all of what God has done in your life up until now is for what he has prepared for you. Forget about whether you were right or wrong. Forget about whether you are blessed or cursed. Forget about what people did to you. All that stuff has no bearing on where you are now. All that were ingredients there to get you to where you are now so that God can do what he needs to do for you now.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 2 of the supernatural presence of the Great I Am. Our title, Positioned for His Presence. The manifested presence of God is felt in an awesome way, and it requires us to listen to the voice of the Great I Am. We need to learn how to keep his presence around us and with us. We need God's presence. The Bible records in Matthew 17:2, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Saints must learn to behold his glory in the midst of darkness. The countenance of an angel is fierce, focused, it's holy. This causes reverence and fear. We need the presence of God more than just on Sunday morning or midweek service. We need him until we live and move and have our being in him. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.